and divide 4.
On.
Can we continue with our meeting? Honorable members, can we continue with our meeting? Okay, we've invited the department to come and brief us on the performance and expenditure for, I think, the last quarter. It's not the first quarter, it's the last quarter because of the financial cycle. It's surprising, sorry. Okay. In terms of the last quarter, so we'll give the CFO, I'm not sure who's leading, is it the CFO? Please introduce your delegation before you start making your presentation. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair and honorable members. My name is Ruzana Raskin, I'm the CFO. On my right-hand side, I've got Dr. John Cannison, who is our Chief Director Policy and Strategy. And on my left-hand side, far left, I've got on my far right, I've got Patience Chose. I've been struggling to pronounce the surname, but she'll forgive me. And I also have, she's the director from the same unit as Dr. Cannison. On my left, not far left, I've got George Koregwang. He's acting chief director. Right, acting chief director, budget and revenue. Firstly, I would like to apologize that the DG couldn't make the meeting. He's currently at the NCOP and the rest of the DDGs, except DDG Immigration Services, he's attending another portfolio committee for tourism. I would also like to apologize that we sent a presentation on Monday morning or Sunday evening, Monday morning. In that presentation, we didn't include the fourth quarter. We realized that we didn't include the first quarter. So we'd like to apologize that we didn't include that information in that first presentation, and we have subsequently included the fourth quarter in that presentation. I'll be doing the presentation on both performance and expenditure. We thought that we should start, honorable members, with what drives our strategic plan for 2010-11. We looked at the 12 outcomes from the presidency, and 3 were applicable to the Department of Home Affairs, where outcome 1 talks about the secure South African citizenship and identity. And outcome 2 talks about how we manage immigration. And outcome 3 talks about how we deliver efficient, accessible, and corrupt free services to our citizens. How I'm going to report today, we're going to be looking at each outcome, whether this outcome has been achieved or not. And then we'll also be looking at the measurable objectives in the table that follow. This measurable objective is something that obviously needs to be attained within the MTEF period, which will be 2010 to 2013. I will also talk about the targets for the 2010-2011 financial year and how we performed against those targets. overall, and specifically we'll talk of quarter four, how we achieved, how we performed in terms of quarter four. We also included a column for comments, and this is specifically where the target was not achieved, and for clarification purposes. If we can go to the first measurable objective, our objective was that we wanted to ensure that registration at birth is the only entry point for the South Africans to the National Population Register. We had two targets, where we said 70% of all newborn children registered before their first birthday. Overall, for the financial year, we've registered 946,031 births, and this was done before their first birthday. And this represents 87% of the estimated total births that were registered by the department. So this means that we achieved our target, but we went above the target by 17%. In the last quarter, we registered 248,000 births, where the children were between the age of 0 and 1. If we look at the late registration of birth, we said that we will process within 90 days 100% of all the applications that we have collected. The turnaround time of 90 days was achieved, and we were able to process in the our annual performance. We processed, or we finalized, 190,000 applications, and this is where we've allocated IDs to those individuals. In the last quarter, we did 38,594 late registration of birth. Okay, if we look at the next measurable objective, it was to review the regulatory framework to manage birth, death, and citizenship. Both the acts were amended and assented by the president around December 2010, and subsequent to that, we then drafted the regulations. They are with the minister for consideration. Our next measurable objective. You will see that honorable members, you will see that the measurable objective numbers are in line with our strategic plan for 2010-11. I should have mentioned that in the beginning, because there are numbers there under measurable objective. Our next measurable objective was to issue identity documents to all citizens 16 years of age and above. We set a target that 95% of all citizens 16 years and above, we will issue them with birth certificates. This we would have done through the outreach campaigns, and then we'll make sure that subsequent to that they get IDs. We have issued 495,000 IDs. Were issued to applicants who were turning 16 years. And out of those 495,000, 96,593 were issued during the last quarter of the 2010-2011 financial year. We also had a target where we said 95% of citizens reached through outreach campaigns. Those who are 10 and 16 years of age, to make sure that they are issued with IDs. Overall, we've issued 228,795 IDs were issued to applicants 10 and 16. Out of the 228,000, 54,234 IDs were issued during the last quarter of the financial year. The next measurable objective was to secure processes and systems to combat fraud and corruption. this will, the aim here was to roll out live capture to different regional and district offices, and also for issuing of IDs and passports. This was not achieved, and this was based on the fact that we were still in negotiation with Gijima, and that's why this was not achieved. The settlement, the members will all know that the settlement has been reached with Gijima, and we're in the process this is in our 2011-12 financial strategic plan to be achieved. If we look at the same measurable objective, we said 100% of active duplicate cases will be resolved. This will be new cases. As per the baseline of 12,000 cases, we actually finalized 16,242 cases, and 3,214 cases were finalized in the last quarter. This is where people come forward and say, I'm a duplicate, and then we are able to resolve those cases, as I've mentioned. The next target was that we were going to resolve the 33,000 backlog in terms of duplicates. Obviously, this is what we knew then. And then it does happen that people will then come forward, and then even during our own processes, when we are looking at streamlining our processes, we come across more cases. In this instance, we're able to resolve 55,784 cases, and this, there was no need to issue somebody a new ID. Where there was a need to issue someone a new ID, we resolved 28,788 cases were resolved and IDs were issued. 16,886 of the 28,788 were resolved during the last quarter of the financial year. If we look at the next target, 100% of passport capturing offices compliant with the new passport process, this was not achieved based on the issue that I raised earlier around the settlement of the Gijima contract. 100% of offices responsible for birth, marriage, and death processing compliant with the new using the new processes. This target, we were going to look at issuing new or designing new forms and obviously issuing them. We have issued the new forms. The new forms are being utilized, the triplicate forms, and training was provided around those forms. And we do take the issue that was raised by the PSC around the availability of forms. We will definitely look at that. We actually, George and myself, are responsible for ordering those forms and issuing them to the to the offices. So we'll look at that. If we look at measurable objective 1.5, it was to integrate key systems and upgrade IT infrastructure for improved security and data integrity. Here we're saying that our target, we will be partnering with third parties like SASA, Department of Human Settlement, and SABRIC. We have signed memorandum of understanding with SABRIC and with SABRIC, and we have been working with SASA already. in most of our tourism centers, and even at the stakeholder forum, SASCA is one of our partners. We haven't got to signing an agreement with the Department of Human Settlement, but we are in engagement with them. Okay, if we look at the same measurable objective, we said we will refresh IT equipment for 2,000 devices. This was achieved in the first three quarters. We actually refreshed 2,462 devices. There was also a target of installing and line upgrade for data lines that were a priority in 2010. 10 of them. We haven't achieved this, and the reason mentioned there is that no funding was allocated in a year under review for high priority offices. The target will now be achieved within the various IT projects in the next financial year, which will be 2011-12. I think this is not a good thing. We cannot put something on the threat plan knowing that it's not funded. So that's something that we are looking at going forward, that everything that is in the threat plan is funded, so that we do not put reasons like this next time. But just to mention, the turnout of the 34 offices were done during the World Cup. So we will look at this going forward. We also set a target that we will integrate the movement control system with NIS and HANIS. This was also not achieved due to the wire contract. If we look at the next measurable objective.
Sorry, can I just make sure of one thing? That wire contract, is that the GMA?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I'll just be consistent and say Gijima throughout. If we look at the next measurable objective, we said we would like DHA to effectively contribute to the successful hosting of the World Cup. I think this was achieved, and there wasn't anything to achieve in the last quarter. If we look at the next measurable objective, we set ourselves that we'll implement an integrated immigration management system. The first target there was to amend the existing immigration regulation of 2007 in terms of the Immigration Act. And the Immigration Amendment Bill was here this morning, and the regulations are in the process of being approved. They've already been approved by the Immigration Advisory Board. The Immigration Act amended, already mentioned that the fact that the Immigration Bill was here this morning. It was voted on and passed by the National Assembly at its second reading and referred to NCOP for concurrence. Obviously, we are going on with the process of making sure that this is enacted into an act. Refugee Act and Refugee Regulations amended. In the last quarter, the Refugee Bill was passed by the NCOP and will be referred back to National Assembly for finalization. The new immigration policy developed. This was not achieved. The immigration policy was not developed. We are still at the research stage. The draft policy paper will be developed in 2011-12 financial year, and then after that we'll then develop a policy for specific areas. If we look at the next measurable objective, where we mentioned that we will participate in and contribute toward the establishment and functioning of the Border Management Agency, we the target there was that DHA will develop a position paper. This position paper was developed. It's still under discussion at the JCTS cluster level. If we look at the next measurable objective, to develop a framework for risk-based immigration management approach, this was developed. The methodology was developed in principle, and then it has been discussed at the second department retreat, which was in December.
Where is this information that you're talking about? That you're referring to? Because
sorry?
If we don't have it yet. Or is it?
I'm on page 16. I'm on page 16 now. I'm on page 16 of the performance presentation. Do we all have this presentation? Yes, page 16. Sorry to share about that. The next measurable objective was to develop a frame. I've already presented around page 16, so I'll just go to page 17. On page 17, we said we will improve leadership capacity and capability within the department. The first objective was that we're going to establish coaching clinics for supervisors in the department between level 7 and to level 12. These are mostly our supervisors in the different provinces and head office. The policy was, the framework was drafted in terms of how this coaching would be done, but a suitable service provider couldn't be appointed. We actually went out on tender, and there wasn't, based on the specification that was written, there wasn't suitable responses received. But we are still pursuing going, instead of having one service provider for the whole country, we can have one service provider in each and every province, because you don't find somebody who's in all the a service provider who's available or who's got resources around the country for coaching clinic for coaching. So we are looking at a service provider at each and every province. We said we will have three leadership development interventions implemented. This was achieved. We had a leadership workshop where 93 of the 118 SMS members attended. This one is difficult for me to even present it. We set a target that 400 front office supervisors, both for civics and immigration, will be trained on customer services. We were able to train only 15 out of those 400 managers. And the reason for this is because we couldn't find a suitable service provider. That might not be sufficient to the honorable members, but it's what has happened, and obviously as management we are looking into how we can roll out this faster, because based on the other thing is that Dr. Cunningham just reminded me is that we actually piloted 5 offices, so maybe that's why the 15 people. The next one, we said we will train 1,000 front office officials. on customer services. The previous one was the supervisors. Now the people that deal with the clients, we were only able to train 75 out of the 1,000, and same reason as the previous one is applicable here. You will be glad that our next target was to train 1,000 front office officials on operational excellence. This is where we look at uniform processes to make sure that things are done uniformly within Home Affairs. We were able to train 1,007 officials. 308 of those officials were trained in the last quarter of the financial year. The next one where we are supposed to train 1,000 employees in needs-based interventions, we were able to train 1,622 officials were trained, and some of the training happened during the last quarter, where 39 were trained on different areas, computer training, DHA induction, and public service training. Our other measurable objective was to ensure that ethical conduct and zero tolerance approach to corruption. We said we will conduct a baseline study on causes and scope of corruption within Home Affairs. The study was conducted and completed, and we also finalized the recommendation. We are waiting for approval from all the role players, because some of the issues that we noted in that baseline study will involve external stakeholders like the Hawks and other intelligence stakeholders or role players. We also said we will vet. There was a backlog in vetting of our staff, and the backlog was 2,175, and we set the target that we will vet 25% of that backlog. We were able to vet 404 vettings were conducted to date. 297 of those were done in the last quarter. Going forward, we'll be establishing a security advisory committee to ensure that the grading of posts to enable a structured approach to vetting. Actually, this is one of the things that we discuss in most of our meetings, and we feel that it's a priority, because Home Affairs we believe that Home Affairs is a security department, and we cannot have officials specifically in SMS level that are not vetted. Within that measurable objective, we said best marriage, debt, and permit processes. Security will be certified and verified. All the processes were evaluated, but not submitted to state security agency because of the anticipated. We spoke earlier around the Best Marriage and Death Act that needs to be amended. We also set a target that 50% increase in number of DHA physical facilities compliant with MIS and MPSS against the baseline of 189. We've done 130 out of 189, and 49 was done in the last quarter.
What
did
the acronym stand for?
Physical security.
We have, just looking at this, we have appointed control security officers in all provinces so that we make sure that we comply with those two standards that we mentioned. 70%, we also set a target that 70% of the misconduct cases would be finalized within 60 days. We're able to achieve 68%. And 60% was achieved in the last quarter of the financial year. Okay. With regard to the unqualified audit report, this we'll see after year end. After the auditors issue their audit report on the 31st of July, we'll be able to comment on this. But there were a few processes that we put in place. We made sure that our standard operating procedures are there and they are compliant with the PFMA and Treasury regulations. We were able to submit interim financial statements to the National Treasury. We were qualified on asset. We continuously worked on asset management to make sure that we are not qualified again on this issue. In our bid to get, on page 23, in our bid to get a clean report, we have identified a few gaps, and we wanted to make sure that those gaps are filled. We realized that procurement and payments and budgeting has always been centralized, and we wanted to decentralize these processes. This couldn't be achieved completely where we rolled out where we decentralized the procurement, the payments, and the shifting of funds to the provinces. And the reason for this is because the logis system which we will be using to procure. It cannot be rolled out without the assets being loaded into that system. As I've mentioned in the earlier on, the fact that we had an asset management project in place to make sure that our asset register is up and it aligns to National Treasury frameworks in terms of asset management. We couldn't achieve this objective and the targets thereof. But what we have done, we've done roadshows in terms of supply chain to just see whether the offices are ready for this rollout and for this decentralization, and we have found that they are indeed ready, and we will be rolling out. We are just waiting for our asset register to be audited. So by 31st of July, we will be, after the 31st of July, we will be loading the asset register into the logic system, and subsequent to that, we'll roll out the procurement, payment, and shifting of funds to the provinces. We also wanted to increase capacity to contribute to the fight against cybercrime. The policy was developed and it's available. The cybercrime policy was developed, and this includes the IT security policies. Yeah, I struggled a bit with this next one to say how do we really measure this, but we are able to measure this. We've set ourselves a target to say we want people to come to work, and we want to reduce this to actually zero, and we're able to reduce it to 0.12%, and the acceptable norm is 2.25%, so we are above the norm. We also provided training to our officials around this issue. We also mentioned that we will be able to review and approve the national HR plan, and this plan needs to be implemented to one key priority based on the outcome of the HR planning processes. This target was achieved, and we are continuously implementing leadership courses and leadership workshops in order to achieve this objective. And if we look at the objective of ensuring that we've got effective, efficient, and accessible services delivered to clients, hopefully with this we will be able to get a different report from the next survey that will be done by the PSC. We said we will open 10 additional service points. This is where we go and lease a building and we open an office. We're able to open all 10 that we said we'll open. In the last quarter, we opened one, which was Maponya Mall. We mentioned that we'll develop a strategy for acquiring service delivery points. This was done and it was presented to the National Treasury. We said we'll refurbish 30 offices so that our offices are accessible by disabled people. They've got the feel that people can be proud to work for Home Affairs. We're able to refurbish 24 offices, and one of those offices was Barrack Street, the one that you visited. It was the only problem is that it was finalized after year end, so we couldn't include it here. And those 6 offices will then be finalized in the 2011-12 financial year. We said we will acquire 2 new buildings. They haven't been finalized, we've got 2 buildings under construction, which is Sibukeng and Putadichaba, and Sibukeng is almost completed, and Putadichaba is still a bit behind. So those 2 offices are. They are there. They have been built, so they will be available. Hopefully, in the next in our next reporting, we'll be able to say they are indeed finalized or not. The work is done by the Department of Public Works on our behalf, so it's a bit difficult for us to. We do obviously manage the process, and we are in constant negotiation and engagement with them. But it's in their hands. Application for IDs, first issues, we said we'll process them within 55 days on average. And we were able to do this overall for the whole year within 60.5. This is 5.5 days above what we set as the target. And this was mainly due to there was a prolonged public sector strike, and also there was power outage in the CBD, where in our new corporation building where the IDs are produced, and also we had system problems in terms of the photo digitization. Members will remember that we introduced the photo digitization so that we do not test the photo manually. So we had problems with that photo digitization. On average, we are, in terms of reissues, that was first issue, the 6.5. In terms of reissues, we are 56.29 days on average if you reapply for an ID. In the last quarter, we were able to produce most of the IDs within 35 days. And this was obviously lots of overtime from staff to meet the the election requirements so that everybody's got an ID to, in order to enable them to vote. If we go to the next measurable objective, we wanted to ensure efficient and effective, efficient and accessible service delivery to clients. We had an objective that applications for machine-readable passports processed and passports issued within 10 days on average. If we do it manually, it took us 24 days to issue a passport. But if it's done via live capture, we are able to produce the ID within 12 days. So there is an improvement if the live capture is there. And that's why we're striving that we do roll out this live capture to most of the offices. If we look at the same measurable objectives but different targets, we said Section 22 permits issued within 1 day on average. The great majority of Section 22 permits are issued within 1 day. We are refining the system to enable that to enable us to meet this 1 day turnaround time. First instance status determination finalized within 6 months on average. The process sometimes is taking longer than 6 months, and this is due to including appeals and some other issues. But I think, as mentioned this morning, the status determination committees that will be established will help a great deal. And also, the decentralization of the refugees appeals authorities will also help in streamlining the process and making sure that we do issue this first instance status within 6 months. Also, the issuing of the refugee ID within 90 days. That was also very difficult to measure because the permitting system or the permitting processes were previously decentralized and done manually, so we couldn't get accurate statistics until we introduced track and trace in July 2010. We introduced track and trace, where we're able now, we can see how long it is taking to issue this refugee ID. But overall, we were able to issue 2,953 refugee IDs. This includes first issue and reissue. And 292 of those were issued in the last quarter. Okay. Travelers cleared within 1.5 to 2 minutes. Currently, travelers are being cleared within 30 minutes. At the upgraded or the enhanced movement control system. If we look at, we set a target that will issue 6 months of issuance of permanent residence permit on average. As I've mentioned previously, the fact that the permitting system was decentralized caused a lot of problem, and that's why we decided to centralize this function. And the good thing around this is the fact that we have cleared the backlog in terms of permitting. We were able to issue 5,476 permits, but however, these were not issued within the 6 months that we have set for ourselves. I think there's a typo there's definitely a typo in the presentation. It's not supposed to be 60 months, it's supposed to be 6 months. We are saying that we didn't achieve the fact that we wanted to issue permits within 6 months. Four weeks for issuance of a temporary residence permit, being work, business, or corporate, on average. This was also not measurable because of the fact that the permitting system was decentralized and we were not using the track and trace system, which we started using in July 2010. BS May, we issued 132,000 work permits, and we issued approximately 5,700 business permits. We issued 800 corporate permits, and the number does not reflect all permits issued in the reporting period, but only those in the track and trace system, which we started using from July 2010. Just to clarify what we did to deal with the backlog, we set up a project team, and in order to deal with the backlog so that it can be cleared and we can only deal with active cases. And this was done, the backlog was cleared during the financial year. 1 week issuance of the temporary residence, that's page 32, for study, treaty, exchange, or retired. Yeah, I'm sure you are tired of hearing this. We couldn't obviously measure this also because of the fact that the process was decentralized. But we are able to take out data from the system from the 1st of July. We've issued study permits, approximately 18,000 study permits. Treaty, we've issued 147, we've issued 594 retired person permits, and exchange permits, we issued 74. And the 10 days for issuance of temporary residence permit, we've issued 2,587 temporary residence permits. Overall, other payments were issued 71,297 payments, and we can in the last quarter we issued 20,000. I think this is relative to the linear progression for the different quarters. If we go towards the conclusion, just additional activities for the committee to note. I think we have reached that settlement with Kijima, and hopefully going forward we'll be able to come here and say we've achieved this and that and this. They will not have, we'll be saying we've achieved above what we've set, hopefully. In terms of the documentation of the Zimbabwean project, we collected 275,000 applications, and those were for work, business, and study permits by the deadline of 31 December 2010. And we also wanted to just mention the fact that we've established the stakeholder forum for over 90% of the municipalities, and this will definitely assist with some of the things that have been mentioned by peers. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to questions and comments, but they are welcome.
Can we continue with the quarterly one so that we finish with all the presentation?
Yeah. Okay. The next presentation, Chair, is very short. I think the numbers, they do speak for themselves sometimes. We thought we should bring, even though it's only the last quarter, we will bring, the first two slides is just to share with the committee what have we submitted to the Auditor General as our final appropriation The budget allocated to us was 5.8 billion, and what we have spent is 6.5 billion, and we spent 687 million above what was allocated to us. This was mainly due to few things. Firstly, Chair, it's good that I mentioned the fact that we approached National Treasury when we were faced when the department was faced with the issues of expenditures that have already been incurred, not budgeted for. So we seek the approval from National Treasury. That was in September, October of 2010, and they then gave us a letter in December 2010 to go ahead and process this transaction or this outstanding debts relating to previous financial years that were not budgeted for. And we do take full responsibility that those things were not budgeted for. But it also goes with the fact that we are in an accounting framework that sort of, I wouldn't say allow people not to process the transaction timelessly, but because you record transaction as and when you pay or when you receive, and that might pose a bit of a challenge if you do not have very good financial management processes to make sure that at the end of financial year you do not have accruals. You do not have invoices that you have received services for, but you haven't paid for them, which was the case here, where we had several instances where we received the services, but the invoices haven't been paid at year end. And we've got a breakdown of what was that. When we submitted to National Treasury, the amount was 533. Which included Department of International Relations and Cooperation, DICO, where we owed them 266 million, and this were for things that for supporting documentation that we confirmed. But we realized after that it's not actually 266 million, it's actually 709 million. But this amount included the repatriation deposits. And once we've done the reconciliation and everything, the amount that we should have actually paid to DICO, which we haven't paid, these things dates back to 2003-04, because maybe let me explain to the committee how it used to happen in the past. What used to happen in the past was that Department of Home Affairs, DECO will provide services on behalf of Department of Home Affairs in the foreign missions, and we will then wait for the documents to arrive, and those documents arrive on a quarterly basis, and we then follow a reconciliation process. If we do not receive a document, we do not pay that amount, and we pack it, and it's outside the books. And that was not a good thing, but at the same time, you cannot, if you go ahead and process those transactions, you'll be in trouble because you do not have documents for them. It means that the department will get a disclaimer. And we couldn't afford to get a disclaimer, and the arrangement with DICO was that we will only process those transactions when we get the document, the physical document. And without the physical document, we can't process transactions. We went, obviously, after consultation with National Treasury, we hired 20 contract workers to go to DICO and get this document that we need so that we can settle the debts that we owe them. That process we have gone through, and I think we there's around how much that's left for still to be confirmed, Only 153 still need to be confirmed with DECO to date. That was just one amount that led to us overspending. The other amounts related, we had a 50 million for GPW. We had 100 million for IT projects. We've got a contractor called Mapless. This is the people that provide the IT services to us. And then we had Fever Tree that did our turnaround strategy, where we were owing them 80 million, and we settled that. And the other amounts were quite small. So that's basically why we overspent. If the committee wants further details on this overspending, we can provide that on a separate document. But that's what led us to overspend our budget. If we just look at the last quarter, Dr. Kennison, which is slide number 5, we had 4 programs. Program 1 was administration, program 2 services to citizens, program 3 immigration, and program 4 transfers to agencies, which are those 3 agencies. I wanted to do a comparison between the overall expenditure. If I do a comparison with the budget, it kind of skewed the whole presentation, because we're not looking at the realistic expenditure that was incurred by the department. The total expenditure that we have spent was 6.5 billion. Out of those 6.5, the 2.8 billion was spent in the fourth quarter, because that's what the committee wanted to see. What is the expenditure in the last quarter? And this constitutes 43.3% of the annual expenditure of the department. The transfers to agencies, this is simpler to explain, because this is it's based on request. The agencies will request as and when they require the money. Based on their cash flow projections, they will request the money from Home Affairs, and that's what happened. The next page, I've tried to explain what have we spent the 2.8 billion on during the last quarter. This might look like a fiscal dumping, but there were reasons why we spent money in the last quarter. If we look at the compensation of employees, if we just look at the linear projection, we should have spent 25% of our budget, but we spent 36.9%. That means that we spent 11.9% above the linear projection. This included, as I've already mentioned, the payments to DECO, because the reconciliation process took place during the last quarter of the financial year. Also, our bonuses for 2008-09 and also 10-11, they were paid in that in the last quarter. We also had overtime that was paid in the last quarter. We also extended the contract workers specifically for the Zimbabwean project. We extended those contract work, and then that obviously contributed to the spike in expenditure in the last quarter. Just for record purposes, what we paid to DECO in the last quarter was 253.8 million. We paid 6.9 million of performance bonus. This is not even 1% of our compensation of employees. We paid 14.5 in overtime, and then we paid 50 million for contract workers. if we look at goods and services, the majority of the amounts there relate to the wire settlement, where we paid 286 million for the settlement of the Gichima contract. I think the other expenditure was more, invoices that were submitted late by the different business units or branches. That's why we had a 42.7% expenditure that we incurred in the last quarter. Also, we've got interest on finance leases that we pay on a quarterly basis, and obviously the 4.6 is for the last quarter. I've already mentioned the transfers and subsidies. If we look at payments for capital assets, this includes the payments for leases. It also includes the payment for expenditure relating to software and intangible assets, which will be for our harness system and the NIST system. The payment for financial assets also related to DECO. These are some of the payments that we made to add for repatriation funds, and we need to use this score classification as directed by National Treasury. So that's basically the expenditure for the fourth quarter. So thank you, Chair and Honourable Members.
Thank you, CFO, Mr. Cunnison. Are there any additions? No? No additions. Okay. Questions, Honourable Members? Honourable Lovemore?
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm going to try and be as brief as I possibly can, but I must say that I find this report absolutely amazing, in the same way that I found the strategic plan amazing, that we have got so many targets here that we actually can't measure. We call them measurable objectives, but we actually can't measure them, which is quite astounding. Chair, just a note to Eddie, perhaps. Can these presentations please be emailed to us before the committee meetings to allow us to prepare properly in future? Okay, Chairperson, let me go through very quickly. Page 4 is a very good example of where there is a target. There are many, many such examples. There is a target, and what you are reporting is not, in fact, on the target. The target is 100% of late registration of birth applications, and you're saying are processed, and you're saying the average turnaround time is 90 days, but you're not saying that 100% were. And in other cases, there are targets saying that there was a certain turnaround time was a target, and you are saying how many were processed. So in fact, you're not relating what you achieved to the target, which doesn't allow us to measure the performance. So that is a problem. On page 15, I just want to remind, and it might not be the correct officials, but I just want to, in fact, I'm sure Dr. Carnison is the correct official, that, Chair, when we were going through the Refugees Amendment Act, a commitment was made to this committee that those refugee regulations, it's not written into the legislation most unfortunately, but that those refugee regulations would come to this committee before they were gazetted. Yes, it was, mm-hmm. Chair. Yes, it was. We can check on that. Chairperson, on page 15 it says new immigration policy developed, and that there's policy research and discussion within government. What does this mean? It's sort of typical Home Affairs blurb for you don't know what. The transparency is a word that comes to mind and really is not very much in evidence. And similarly, for page 16, it talks about risk-based immigration methodology approved in principle at the second department will retreat. What are the details? Where is this thing? It's not on the website. We can't get hold of it. Your minister is notoriously bad at answering parliamentary questions. She just doesn't. Where do you get this information? And I think in order for us to do our job properly as in terms of oversight, we need it. Chair, I'm shocked at the training. I really am, but I will leave that. I'm absolutely shocked. I don't believe the reasons are convincing at all. Chairperson, on page 19, it says that 1007, this is the annual performance, 1007 officials were trained in operational excellence, uniform processes now in the strat plan for this coming financial year. Standard operating procedures are in there. So I'm interested how, in the absence of standard operating procedures, you train on uniform processes. Hopefully there are enough standard operating procedures in place, but won't you please just talk about that? On page 20, this is another case. This is now corruption. A draft baseline document stroke report on causes and scope of corruption is available. Well, who is it available to and where is it available? Because I think we'd really like to see that. Page 29. The reasons are not convincing. Again, there are many instances where the reasons are not convincing. You spoke about the refugee first instance status determination taking longer than 6 months. First of all, it's misleading because it is taking between 5 and 7 years. It's not just taking usually longer than 6 months. It's taking between 5 and 7 years. So it would be nice to have the actual performance rather than usually longer than 6 months. But things like discussions at SADC on regional approach to asylum seekers and refugees management, how can that possibly affect the processing of refugee applications? It cannot. It's not a reason for not achieving the target. So that is absolutely misleading, Chair, which I find offensive, quite frankly. On page 30, and this applies to a number of things with respect to time-based, page 30, page 31, they're time-based things. It would take so long for the issue of a permanent residence permit, temporary residence permit, and we told that it couldn't be tracked or it couldn't be measured because the track and trace system wasn't in place. Now, I'm afraid I'm going to be perfectly honest, I don't believe that. I mean, surely there is an application date and an issue date. It's quite easy to, surely it must be, somebody must be able to do that. I do not believe because you didn't have track and trace systems in place, you could not actually measure that. So I find that absolutely unacceptable. And then, Chair, lastly, I cannot but comment on page 33 that major additional activities to note that reaching a settlement with Gejima AST that prevented a large potential loss to the state. Well, yes, it did because Gejima might have gone to court and sued for more than you've had to pay it and enabled a number of critical projects to go forward. But the DGSHRC doesn't know how strong Gejima's case was, but the fact is that Gejima has been appointed at a cost of approximately 2 billion rand to look after hardware. What's not mentioned is that SARS is doing the job that Gejima was originally appointed to do. We haven't saved money. I mean, please can you just explain that? I find this absolutely misleading. Thank you, Chair.
You may respond. Oh, Honourable Makuba.
Thank you. I do not have a lot. Thank you for the presentation. I just wanted to also stress that we do need the percentages, like on page 6, where you say 95, you're mentioning 95%, but you're giving us the number on the other side. That is very important. We need to know how much of whatever target that was there is that number. Okay, I just want to know also that on page 7 of the slide, now that the Gejima and the DHA settlement agreement has been concluded, do you have an idea of how long, of when will the department, how long
will it take the department to achieve, like the measurables there on slide 7, where all of them were not achieved due to the non-conclusion of the settlement. And on page 8, I just want to know, which is my last one, I want to find out, where you talk of the duplicate cases, is there a way where the department is able to pick up duplications before a person actually comes forward and say, I was told I've got two IDs? Because then that will help. Why I'm saying this, I had a case last week of a family that could not bury their father, because when they tried to go and ask for a death certificate, they discovered he had two IDs. And they refused, they gave him a copy, a manual death certificate, and the insurance companies refused to accept that, to be able to pay them. So I'm thinking, if the department is able to see that, those people can be contacted before anything happens to them, so that can be sorted out. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before Honorable Mateba, just to say, man, this thing of duplication is a problem. But I do think that we also need to put that at the back of your head, so that when we have meeting with the DDG, Civil Services, we are able to raise it. I'm not sure if the CFO will be able to raise to answer that. But Honorable Matebe, followed by Honorable Bosman.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just a concern also. I think the timing itself for this presentation is too short. We've got a lot of things to discuss. We need some days to discuss these issues. I think that the time also is very short, because we've got a lot of issues that are concerning our committee. Like, for instance, question of strategic plan outcome 3, that the service is efficient, accessible, corruption-free. That is not yet solved. For instance, last day there was a story or a picture in a Sowetan where they mentioned the Ghanaian man has a lot of equipment from Home Affairs, the IDs, the wardrobe. Where does he got all those been arrested? I mean, really, we just need to know. But together with you, the department, and as a portfolio committee, just have to come with a strategic plan. Because we cannot just expect you to come up with a solution now. As I said, the timing really for us is too short to blame or to put a lot of questions to the department. Thank you.
Honorable Bosman, followed by Honorable Marcella, you'll be there.
Yes, I think what has been said earlier on is really, it holds water. What I wanted to say, Chair, was that this document is a remnant of a whole document. It's talking of the fourth quarter, because there was a presentation before, I understand, pertaining the other quarters. But I think it would be important that we have, like we have said, time to get to combine a whole document where you then say annually, this is how the department has performed. And we are then able to compare with the strike plan and the budget vote, and further the figures that we only been given the fourth quarter, and I understand the others had already been. Then it would be easy for us to discuss and deliberate on this if we have a holistic document inclusive of all the quarters and how we performed, and the financials, the annual financials, on how we spend. Then you are able to compare the figures on the actual work that has been done, and you'll be able to say whether the department is actually giving us value for money. And that was raised earlier on. But for now, with this fragmented type of documentation, it's very difficult for us to then say exactly what has happened here. But the other thing, just in passing, is the issue of the overspending, which is actually being narrated to say we overspent here because of 1, 2, 3.
But some of the things one would say, what happened to the provisions? For instance, in the issue of deco, if we only pay, we realize chickens or we count chickens at the time when they are actually hatched. Obviously, there should be a system that seeks to say, once you process a documentation that size, indicate this size, so that we are able to provide in advance for whatever that would come later to avoid this particular issue. Otherwise, every year we will overspend because then we are not sure what is happening that side. But before the actual documentation comes, something must indicate that something is happening, so prepare yourself so that as you budget, then you make provision to say, we know about 5,000 documents have been processed that side. We should actually provide for a certain percentage in our budget. That's what I was thinking. The bonuses, the overtime and extension of contract. Well, with overtime, I can say someone cannot. At times, you can't preempt that there will be an overtime that will be worked at some point. But all of that, I think, should be things that should be budgeted for, rather than us ultimately ending up overspending with so many millions. And hence I say the confusion, if you look at the presentation as it was made, you add the 709 million, and then already you are more than 685 million that is overspent. It doesn't tally, so you don't get to understand those figures as to how did they come to be. Then there's a lot of explanation that has to, but if we have a holistic document, maybe we'll be able to understand where does that fit and how did it come to be. And all these others we can fragment them, but I think it's all about the issues of provisions, the issues of preparing in time in terms of those unforeseen circumstances that may come. So, Chair, if we can only get the documentation, we'll be able to deliberate on this. But for now, it's a bit difficult. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, yeah, it's very interesting of a presentation. I think we've said before, and I want to repeat now, and in fact, I'm going to reiterate on what has been raised by honorable members here. The manner in which we deal with the strategic plan and the reports on the performance, I don't feel it the best way that we can go about it. There are means and ways in which we can make this more, more practical and ensuring that members have more engagement and interaction with the officials so that we are together in this process and work together along the way. It will then create synergies within the work that we do as oversight, as members of this portfolio committee, and obviously the work that you have to do as the department. Otherwise, we come here with a lot of suspicions, and that creates an unnecessary hullabaloo, which might have been prevented had we then preempted some of the questions that are coming in. Some of them are very normal. I saw the presenter, in fact, I was listening attentively, when she herself was saying, yeah, this is a problem, it needs to be attended to. We didn't have to point it out. I mean, she was pointing out to some of the problems herself. So I think what will help us in future is to have a long day set aside, a day set aside to deal with issues of this nature, instead of having a number of items to deal with and giving this the very last slot, because it does not benefit us, Chairperson. But because of the nature of the work that we have to do, sometimes we think that it's best to do that, but I will plead, and in fact I'd like to suggest that as members consider having a full day long to deal with matters of this nature going forward. For instance, just to highlight some of these, I know a number of issues have been raised. But I do have a problem with the late registration of births and the progress therein. If you look at the presentation by the minister earlier on, and after the launch in Libote, in Umtata, there has been considerable improvement in some areas, but a lot, it's my next appointment, Chairperson. A lot has been said, and we have received so many complaints from the public trying to register for IDs. Sometimes a person coming to me, age 40, you know, saying I've never had an ID. And sometimes this person has got children. I've made an example late earlier on about a woman who came to me. She was 36, 37 years of age, and she had three children. None of them had ID birth certificates. None of them, even when they grow older, were going to be able to have IDs, unless you deal with the first and be able to deal with other processes. Especially given the new act that we've just approved, the Birth and Death Registration Amendment. Act. Also, the heavy reliance on the regulations, which we have raised concerns before. And I heard that when Honorable Lazmo was saying this is an issue, members were feeling discomfort about it. I don't know why, because we dealt with this, and the department was saying, no, don't worry. We'll engage you. They were saying as a courtesy, we'll engage you on the citizenship and as well as on the birth and death registration amendment bill when we dealt with the 2 bills. And we did the same thing, Chairperson, with the refugees and as well as the immigration. We said some of the areas, we said, look, we do agree to some extent that it's not necessary to include them in the act, but then how do we deal with this once you, as a department, deal with the regulation so that we at least understand and be able to interact on that. And it was said, don't worry, we will engage you as the portfolio committee. You know, in my culture, when we have a traditional ceremony of initiation, so Zanizin is okay. Now you're expecting that when you go and donate, the next time when it's your turn, people are going to come back and give that to you. We've given a blank check to the department, go into the regulations, we believe you. But when their term comes, that is their turn now to come to us, they say it's not necessary. No, that's the approach and the impression. Maybe that's not the intended objective on your side, but we've got to deal with that. Page 16, 29, 30, and 11. There are so many things, you know, I understand that we have to go on lunch and, you know, but page 11, for instance, it talks about ports of entry. The fact that we don't have, you know, telephone lines that are functioning. Okay. When there's a problem, how do you report the problem? When there's a serious problem at the port of entry, how do you report it? So, we have to agree, we have to address them. It's a matter of a grave concern. And on page 16, the Border Management Agency. You remember, say, when we went to Bybridge more than a year or two ago, I mean, it was 2009. It was my the first time we went on oversight. We're reminded that, look, don't worry, we are going to deal with the Border Management Agency because it is a problem. The issue of coordination of the relevant departments or role players thereof. Now, say, this year, more than 2 years down the line, we still have to discuss this, and there's no clear line or direction, rather. How is this board going to be constituted? And what are the, you know, urgent action steps or whatever mechanism put in place to make sure that we do have this Border Management Agency? I think those are very honest questions that we have to ask as a portfolio committee. Why is it taking so long? And then page 30, I mean 29 and 30, I'm sure, Chair, I think a question is, it cannot be overemphasized, about the synergy between Section 22 permit and the issuance of IDs to refugees. that process, when a person walks in and says, I'm a refugee, I'm a political asylum seeker, and the time when they get IDs, the longer you take to get to the other one, the longer it takes to get the IDs. So that is the question. I happened to be invited over the weekend by the organization in UCT, and when I listened to the refugees or people who are asylum seekers, it was clear that really there's a challenge. Say, I mean, let me just leave it there. The page 31, the issue of on page 30 is really on the assumption that the backlog has been cleared. I don't believe you. Yeah, I just need to say that I don't believe that it is true. So also, if we're in a meeting now where we take an approach of a workshop, they tell us everything, they tell us the approach, then we engage them on the worries that we have as a portfolio committee. Maybe even these issues would be able to say, oh, okay, what do you mean by saying you've cleared the backlog, given the fact that I've got so many queries in my inbox, and I have not received answers to most of them. And that means, therefore, that backlog that I have in my inbox, and how many other people that are actually confronting a similar process, situation right there. So say that's my question, and I've got another meeting that I have to go to. But I don't expect that all these questions be answered to now, if there's no enough time. But I do expect some answers.
Over to you, CFO, and the team. I'm sure Mr. Cunnison will come in also, and all the members who are with you.
Dr. Cunnison will deal with some of the questions, and then I'll deal with the other ones.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll try and clear as much of the plate as I can. Whether it's completely clean the plate or there's some bits left on the plate, it will depend on the item. Some are more difficult to deal with in a short way than others, but I'll try. I'll start with the Honourable Lovemore's questions and work my way down. On page 4, under the way the LRB is reported, I can give an explanation of why there's discrepancy in terms of numbers given instead of percentages. It's a very complex process, the LRB, as you know. So when the target was set by the civics branch, when they started to...
Can I just request my humble plea to the honourables to say the answers will be given now, but because of the issues we raised earlier on, to say we will not be able to follow, we'll come back next time and ask same questions again because of the non-completion of the documents. I think it's important that we because luckily Honorable Ngcasela had said he is expecting answers even if it is not now. We agree that let's have a holistic, let the department go back and combine all these things that we've said and address those things, whether in a form of documentation or what, so that when we get that complete documentation and on that identified date, we deal with everything holistically. Otherwise, we will come back again. I will ask it in another way round because now we will have complete information on what was going on in the department. I don't know. Yeah.
The other time is not next week. We have a program, Honorable Lassen.
Chairperson, I would like to give a lip service on this one because we are a national department and everybody is expecting us to do this in dealing with these issues. So that suggestion by Honorable Portman, I do go with that and in fact suggest that we do come up with a day where we engage holistically on these issues.
Yeah, honourable members, for next Wednesday, we do have a program ready for the
Tuesday we have a program, Wednesday we have an engagement. So for next week it's out. Unless if maybe you say Thursday. I'm still okay, how about maybe programming in the third quarter, the same? Because next week we have a meeting for 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday, Tuesday and Wednesday. Mm. Now, how about scheduling this for the next quarter, which will be after recess?
See, I don't have a problem with that. I agree with everybody that says that we need to interrogate this thoroughly. And I'd like, and I can't remember who brought it up, the possibility of written, I think it was Honourable Walsner, the possibility of written answers. Quite frankly, Chairperson, getting information out of this department is extremely difficult. There are internal directives that are issued to which it's like they are state secrets. They are. You can't get hold of them. I want written information, written answers. If perhaps we do schedule at the beginning of the third quarter, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. But I think before that, note has been taken of the various questions that we've raised, the concerns that we've raised. Could we not have a written response to at least to those questions so that we have that going forward? We don't have to start all over again, but perhaps you can start even on the responses. That could be sent to us by the department.
I'm sure that could be done. CFO?
Thanks, Chair. I think we'll definitely respond to most of the things raised in writing. We do not have a problem with that. We never have a problem with that. We've always responded to the written questions or oral questions posed to the department. So I really do not understand which ones haven't been responded to. On a weekly basis in our EXCO, we discuss questions that have been raised and whether they've been responded to or not. So I really I do not understand which questions haven't been raised, and honourable members should bring those questions to ask if they haven't been responded to.
CFO, questions, there is a procedure I'm sure that needs to be followed with regarding the questions. Maybe it's questions to the minister.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not the department, to the minister. But I think in this case, all the questions that were asked in this meeting will be written and maybe be forwarded to Eddie, then we'll circulate them to all the members until we meet in our next quarter to maybe have a further discussion on the performance of the department. We'd like to thank Dr. Kanasin and the CFO and the other team members for coming to this meeting to make your presentation. You know, when it comes to expenditure and finances and the targets and the outputs and all those things, members will ask questions right, left and center. And I hope next time the DG will be part of the delegation that's going to come to the portfolio committee meeting. Honourable members, we can't find transport for our waterfront thing.